We want to go to India again, the center of the worst COVID-19 outbreak in the world. Over 17 million cases on record, but experts are saying that's a severe undercount. The total is in the hundreds of millions. As we've heard, hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID patients. Those with other illnesses have nowhere to go. Families of patients and health officials both pleading for oxygen tanks. Dr. Ramanan Lakshminarayan is founder and director of the Center for Disease Dynamics, Economics, and Policy. He's in New Delhi. Doctor, you're one of those who think there are many more cases. Your sense of this?
I don't think anyone needs to do any counting right now at this point. The human scale of this is so evident. I don't know of a single person in India who has not been affected. I don't know of a single Indian living abroad or of Indian origin living abroad who doesn't have a family member who's either really sick with COVID or has died of it. So it's really that bad.
And doctor, the numbers are so huge in a country that's so huge. Can you help us see this? I mean, give us some examples of what's just alarming you as a health official.
So I'm not a health official. I'm a researcher who happens to be in Delhi right now. And otherwise, I would be in Princeton. What is alarming is the fact that the system is completely collapsed. Even in the best of times, India has very low ratios of doctors per patient, low numbers of hospital beds per person. At a time like this, when there's such a huge wave and the numbers of people trying to get into hospitals is many, many, many times what the number of beds are, there are people dying simply because of lack of oxygen. Just a simple intervention that normally would not be a problem, cost $50 to get someone oxygen for an entire week. And people are literally dying because they can't breathe. And that's what's really so tragic about the whole thing.
Terrible. And we spoke earlier in the week to a BBC reporter who said some of the causes included a relaxation of the lockdown. People were out. There were religious celebrations. Your Prime Minister Modi held a huge political rally. You know, there was, you know, a sense of things were opening up. There are also vicious variants. But we're reading in today's New York Times that in one hospital, the Sir Ganga Ram Hospital, 37 fully vaccinated doctors came down with cases of COVID this month. What do you think is going on?
So it's really hard to tell. There's definitely a clinical presentation of the disease now. The patients are coming in are sicker right at the outset. They're dying a lot faster. They tend to be much younger, not necessarily coming in just with breathing difficulties. I know of a young couple in their early 30s who died just yesterday, leaving behind, two small children. This is something we never saw in the first wave. And it's hard to know if it's just the intensity of transmission that is causing this or if there are particular strains. We don't have good data from the last 3 or 4 weeks as to how the AstraZeneca vaccine is behaving or protecting people against the second wave. We only have evidence from before that, which showed that it was performing relatively well. But we don't have much more recent evidence than that.
Yeah. You're talking to us from Delhi. It's hard to imagine what might be happening in more rural parts of India. What is going on there if it's this bad in the major city?
So keep in mind, Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore, Chennai, these are the places with strong healthcare facilities. And there is literally no oxygen to be had or a bed to be had in any of these cities. I cannot imagine what is happening in smaller towns which have, vastly less equipped health systems and hospitals. Certainly far less by way of capacity for oxygen, for ventilators and medications. I think that the true toll of this wave and of this pandemic in India will only be known maybe months or years from now. But right now, what is happening just in these big cities, which is very visible, is just heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. I mean, I hear of a death every 30 minutes from someone that I know, an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or someone who's died. It's literally like being in a war zone.
Well, what do you want the world to possibly do? We hear about it here, too. Fareed Zakaria, popular commentator here. His mother just died. Dr. Atul Gawande, one of our top doctors, has huge family there. We hear about it. What can other governments do? We know the United States is sending aid. What can be done?
You know, it's hard to know at a time like this. Certainly all assistance is helpful, whether it's oxygen. Oxygen is the number one problem. In fact, there's a citizens cooperative called oxygenforindia.org that has sprung up just to be able to help people get oxygen. I never thought that we have to be an initiative to get people oxygen, but it's as basic as that. You know, people need drugs. People need ventilators. Some of these problems can't be solved in the short term. like getting more ICUs, and you can't train a critical care physician, you know, in 15 days. But some of these other supplies are helpful. But I think the lesson from this is simply that people who watch this and think this is happening there, it couldn't happen to us. Just keep in mind, it could happen in any part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Viruses don't know any boundaries. Dr. Ramanan Lakshminarayan, thank you so much, and we wish you all the best there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.